Will you stand for our confession of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed? Let us share in it together in unison. Those who are able to do so, let us stand and recite together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
This morning, I want us to meditate on what I entitled The Voice of Faith. In the world, we are told that seeing is believing. I don't know if you have heard that saying, that seeing is believing, meaning that we need to see before we believe. But the Bible has a different thing to tell us. The Bible says, blessed are those who do not see, but they believe. While we have been exposed to these two types of philosophy from the world and from the Bible, and it is left to us to choose the one we have to go with.
Yes.
Whether we want to choose the philosophy of the world that says that seeing is believing, or we want to believe the word of God that says that those that do not see but believe are blessed.
Yes.
Today we are considering a story very common, and I guess every one of us will be able to talk about the story of the blind Bartimaeus. The story of the blind Bartimaeus might be common, meaning that it is known by majority, and also might look simple. Is this not the story of a man who just had that Jesus, you know, we can tell it as simple as A, B, C, D. But when we sit down to look through the scriptures and study to see what it took this man to get this miracle, we will come to understand that it takes sacrifice, determination to get something from God.
Yes.
So, I am not trying to tell the story again because we all know about the story. But I'm trying to bring out some of the important lessons that this man taught us in this simple story so that we will be able to allow these lessons to transform and regenerate and renew our belief system.
Yes.
The problem we always and will always have, we've always had and we always have as Christians is our belief system. Bible says, whatsoever a man believeth in his heart, so he is. So if you're talking about with God, a walk with God, it all depends right from the beginning what you know about God and what you know about the ways of God.
Yes.
Because God can never divert his ways to reach you through your own way. He can never leave his standard to meet you on your own standard. It doesn't matter how much you complain and how much you shed tears, and even if blood comes from your eyes in form of tears, God can never come down to your standard. He loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to do everything that you ever want. But that is under one condition. He must dictate. God must dictate how it's going to happen.
Yes.
But the problem is that most of the time we want to dictate. We want God to meet us where we are. You must go to God to meet God. We're coming to that in this story. We can see, and we also see an example of that in this story. So God is not coming to us to meet us. God is waiting for us to come up. He told Abraham, come up, Eden. You must go to meet him. So meaning that it must be on God's terms. It must be on God's conditions. It must be on God's ways. It must be on God's time.
Yes.
Everything is about God. Nothing is about you. Because he is the only one that has the power to do to us all that we ever, to give to us everything we will ever need, to do to us, to bless us, to heal us, to everything is him. And I don't think it is too much of God to expect us to play by his own terms. Since he's the one that will do everything for us, that wouldn't be too much for him to ask you to go by his own terms. So looking at this story of blind Bartimaeus, like I said, the word was saying that seeing is believing, but the Bible says is blessed for those who does not see. If you look at this story, the man said, the Bible said that he's blind. And of course, his situation of blindness has added to the names he has. The Bible called his name, his first name Bartimaeus, his last name, and then also added, some scriptures call him the blind Bartimaeus. So blindness, which is his situation, has been added to his name for the purpose of identification. It simply means that the situations of life has added some things to this man for you to properly identify the Bartimaeus that we are talking about. We have to tell you the blind Bartimaeus. And so many times in our lives, we discover that we have come to a point where our situation, not a pleasant one anyway, has added that it has become part of our identity. What becomes part of your identity has become part of you. You cannot be differentiated or separated from your identity. I can never stop answering Joshua because that is part of my identity. I can never stop looking the way I look because that is part of my identity. Now, the situation has gone so bad that it has become part of the identity of this man. So he wasn't seeing. So meaning that he has never seen Jesus. Right? Because he's a blind man.
Yes.
So if he starts waiting until he sees Jesus for him to ask for help, then he will die blind. He, even though he has not seen, but he has heard. He had heard stories about Jesus and the things that this man has been doing.
Yes.
I don't know if he goes to church anywhere, but the Bible does not even tell us where he lives. So we only believe that that portion of the roadside where he is where he lives. He is there in the summer, he's there in the winter. He's there in the morning, he's there in the afternoon, because he can never survive without asking for alms.
Yes.
But he heard about Jesus, and he believed. And he was waiting for an opportunity for this man to pass by. He can't trace him where he is. Some others follow Jesus because they can see him and where he goes. But he can't see him, but he have heard. He simply heard about Jesus and he believed about him. And the day came that he also heard. It's all about hearing. The Bible said that faith cometh by the word, and the word is by hearing. There is no other way to develop faith in God. If you are waiting until you will see God with your physical eye, then you have to die first. You have to die and wait for the resurrection of the dead on the resurrection day. Then when you get there, but that will be too late for what we are expecting. We only hear. And then you've heard so much about God, you have so much about Jesus. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe in him?
Yes.
Do you believe that what you heard he did yesterday is the same thing he is able to do today? Do you believe that what you heard he did to other person is the same thing he can do to you?
Yes.
Do you believe that the way he has healed the sick is the same way he can heal your own sickness?
Yes.
Well, yes, it's an easy thing to say. But when yes has to get into action, it's when we know it is truly yes. It is when this time for action is when we shall know that if our yes is actually yes, or if our yes is maybe. Because sometimes yes might mean maybe. Maybe until the time comes, I will know if I believe or I don't. So this man believed, and the Bible said that this man began to yell, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus was ministering. Jesus was doing his own thing, going along. And of course, there were multitudes because they were just getting out from Jericho. There were multitudes following him. But this man decided that even though I cannot see him and get to where he is, I can say something. My voice could be heard. I must shout and make sure my voice gets so loud above every other person that is sick, I must draw his attention. Because that is the only thing I can do. That is the only way I can make him know that I'm here. Because in him, he believes that if I can only draw the attention of Jesus towards me, my solution has come. I believe that those things he has been doing, maybe he has heard about the woman of the issue of blood. I don't know, maybe he has heard about him. Who also think that all I need is I can only touch the hem of his garment. Unfortunately, they said they began to shout, yell on him, "Come on, shut up! Why are you making noise? Why do you think you can draw this man's attention?" The people that sees that have been following him all the way from Jericho, he has not attended to them. Why do you think it must be you? Why do you even think that Jesus can associate with you, a common beggar? You don't even have money to give offering. Neither can you pay tithe. How do you think Jesus will get to you? Shut up! You are disturbing us. The Bible says he increased the volume. Listen to me. On your way to meet God, there are many adversaries that will meet you.
Yes.
When you are determined to reach God, devil will plant some things to discourage, to distract.
Yes.
Devil will always bring distraction on your way. There are so many things that comes to you on your way to reach God that looks like gold, but they are not. It's all distractions. Devil will bring this, he will bring that, he will bring discouragement. It is not easy to receive from God.
Yes.
Devil do not want you to give any testimony. Devil does not want you to praise God for one day. Therefore, on your way to get your miracle, devil must meet you. He doesn't come to you as devil. He can use anybody. He can use, unfortunately, sometimes he can use the one you love most. The Bible says that the enemy of a man are just the members of his household. Because the devil cannot use somebody distant from you to get you. He must always use somebody close to you. Therefore, watch out and be careful. And don't let anything stop you on your way to God. What you have heard about him is true. If any man brings any other gospel contrary from the true gospel you have heard, don't give attention to it. Amen. Amen. The Bible said the man shouted the more. He acted on what he believed.
Yes.
It was still from people he heard about Jesus. It is still from people that he's hearing that he should shut up. But he says, what I heard first about this man is what I believe. I believe he's a man that has a lot of mercies. I believe he's a man that is full of grace. I believe he's a man that does not judge me by who I am now. I believe he's a man that is able to receive me no matter the way I am.
Yes.
I believe that he will listen to me. And he shouted them all. And he shouted them all and attracted Jesus' attention. But let me be honest with you now. Jesus did not only hear him when he raised his voice. He heard him from the first time he shouted it.
Yes.
But every faith must be tried. Jesus wanted to make sure if this man really knew what he's looking for. God will always watch out for your actions of faith that show that you truly believe that he and only he can save you. But when this man proved against all odds, against all shouting of close up, shut up, shut up, when he refused to believe the crowd and continued to believe the truth he has already known about Jesus, when he showed that he knows that even though he is a beggar, he's a poor man, that Jesus had come for the poor, he shouted the more. He exercised through faith and complete faith in Christ Jesus that nothing was able to stop him. And he drew Jesus' attention.
Yes.
And Jesus, Bible says that he stopped. He stood still. He stopped everything because there is a voice of faith shouting from somewhere. It is only faith that can move God, not complaints, not doubt, not anything. Sometimes we keep on complaining. I mean, complaint can never move God, honestly. It cannot. Your complaint, let it fill this sanctuary. It doesn't move God. Because God is not moved by complaint. A complaining man or woman simply means a disbelieving man or woman. It simply means a doubting Thomas. God has nothing. James says that he that doubted can never receive anything from God. And Jesus stood still and said, bring him. Now look at life. When Jesus looked his attention and said, bring him, the same people that shouted at him to keep quiet now said, oh, cheer up. Listen to me. Those that mock you now, very soon, if you do not give up, they will celebrate you. They say, shut up, shut up. What do you think Jesus can do with you? And now he was able to prevail. And look to Jesus, they say, oh, cheer up, rejoice, young man, he's calling you. That's how life is.
Yes.
That is why it is you and God. This race we are in is you and God. You don't want to look at what I'm doing to know what you have to do. Do what God says you should do. The way God reached me is not the way he's going to reach you. The time he reached me is not the time. I'm not supposed to be your model. Let the word of God be your model. Let the word of God direct your path. Let the truth of God you've heard keep you and keep you moving. Because some people will want to come to discourage you. Come on, you pray too much. Must you go to church every Sunday? Why are you talking about? Must you give offering? Is it by force to pay tithe? How can you just calculate your money and bring 1/10? Sometimes it's up to 1,000 or 2,000. You just carry 2,000 and give to church? Oh, no, 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 no. That is not what you need to do for God. God does not require all. Who told them? Who told them God does not require all those? But do you know that it's a truth? It's truth. And it's as a worshiper of God that you give your tithe and pay your offering? If you know it's good, why do you want somebody to tell you that you overdo it? There is never an overdue in giving to God, because there is no overdue in God giving to you. Hallelujah. And they said, he's calling you. Now, this is where the most important thing is. That Jesus called him wouldn't have given him the miracle. No. That he shouted and attracted Jesus was not enough to give him the miracle. There is something that must happen in him. Because the miracle of God, it comes by the Spirit of God. The Bible says, when they told him that Jesus is calling you, he held his coat, tear it, and threw it away. Now, what was that coat? The coat of sin. The coat of doubt. The coat of poverty. Listen to me, that coat we're talking about has a lot of pockets. Maybe somebody is passing and give him some loaf of bread. He will put there. This one, give him candy. He will put there. So this coat is designed according to his situation. The coat was designed to accommodate his state, his situation. And this man understands that I am in for a change.
Yes.
When Jesus said, come, he knows that no man goes to Jesus and remains the same. He understood that I am in what I am because of my situation, because of my unbelief, because of my sin, because I am a beggar. This coat was designed to accommodate my situation. I do not need it any longer because I am going to meet a man that changes everything that refuses to be changed. He tore his gown and threw it away. And the Bible says he jumped up. He moves from the seat of beggar. Because this man has called me, I am no longer going to continue to be a beggar. My life is no longer going to be dependent on this place I'm sitting. Meaning the end of sitting by the roadside has come. He was able to exercise faith of complete deliverance, liberation, and healing even ever before he met Jesus. The Bible said that those that come to Jesus must first believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Blind Bartimaeus believed that I have sought this man with all my heart. I have looked for this man, and there is no way I will meet him and remain the same. He was saying bye to beggar. He was saying bye to blindness because I can never meet him and continue to be a blind man. He was saying bye to every situation he was when Jesus met him. That is who Jesus is. When he meets you, he changes everything about you. When he meets you, he changes everything about your life. When you meet Jesus, your story must surely change. Your history must surely change. Your identity must surely change. Amen. That was not enough. It was not only an outward change. The Bible says that Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do to you?" I'm coming to that. Number one, but let me talk, say something before I come to that. When Jesus asked him a question, his confession also changed. It was a man that was saying, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When he got close to Jesus, face to face, his confession changed. He never called him Son of David anymore. He says, some translators said he said, "Rabbi." Some said he said, "My Lord." Some said many things, but where we read, our version says he said, "My teacher," personal. He personalized him. He didn't say a teacher or a teacher. He says, "My teacher," meaning a personal relationship with Jesus. "You are no longer the Jesus I have heard about. You are now my Jesus." It is not just about what I had. It is by personal. Now I establish a personal relationship. It is you and I. Meaning an inward transformation. This guy was inwardly transformed that he began to call Jesus Lord, because there is no one that can ever be saved until you acknowledge Jesus as Lord. And when he said that, Jesus nodded in his head, "Now you are ripe for your miracle. Now you are ready to be blessed." And he says, "Go. Your faith has made you whole. You have done all you need to do." In 2 Corinthians, the Bible says, in chapter 5, the Bible says that disobedience will be punished when your obedience is complete. When your obedience is complete, disobedience will be punished. What does that mean? That God is waiting for you to complete your obedience, to be able to deal with everything that disobeyed the truth of God in your life. There are situations in your life that are contrary to the truth of God, who God is. But God is waiting for you for complete obedience. Amen. He's waiting for your obedience to be complete. He's waiting for you to do all you need to do. He's waiting for you to establish your faith to the level that nothing else can put you down. He's waiting for you to pull off and to take off every ugly identity in your life. Listen to me, somebody. I don't know what kind of coat the devil has put on you. I don't know what kind of garment, maybe garment of sorrow, maybe garment of sickness, maybe garment of poverty. But what I know this morning, that if Jesus, by the risen Lord, that every ungodly garment on your life is going to be taken away in the name of Jesus. I know that God is going to take off every garment of sickness in your life. I know that God is ready to remove that reproach, that garment of reproach in your life. I know that God is ready. Jesus is passing this way right now. Yeah. Don't call him Son of David. Call him my Lord. Because he needs to hear the acknowledgement of his lordship in your life. Yeah. Jesus is passing this way right now. Yeah. As I'm talking to you, he's passing by. You don't need to see him, remember? You only need to believe. So what do you believe? Believe that he's here right now and he's waiting for you to exercise your faith. I don't know what you need most right now. I don't know where you want him to meet you. Remember, you cannot define the terms. Some people say, God, if you really want to do this for me, do it this way. No way. God, if you really want to bless me, let this happen and that happen. Forget about what is going to happen. You don't have to say what is going to happen. But the truth is that he is here for you. He yes. came down to Ebenezer just for you.
Yes.
And he is not willing to leave without meeting you. He wants a 101, one-to-one meeting with you this morning. Are you willing to meet with him? Are you ready to meet with him? Are you ready to get out from where you are and move to the next level of your life?
Yes.
Are you ready to step out with him onto victory? Are you ready to get out of that sickness? Are you ready to get out of that situation? It all lies in your hand. A small girl asked a wise man in one city and said, "Old man, you are so old and I've heard so much about your wisdom. I have bells in my two hands, and I want you to tell me, the bird, is he alive or dead? Since you are a wise man, use your wisdom to tell me if that bird I have in my hand is alive or dead." The old man looked at this small girl and said, "Young girl, the life and the death of that bird is in your hand." The same thing Jesus tells you this morning.
Yes.
It lies with you. To be blessed or not to be blessed is in your hand. For Jesus, he is ready and ever ready. To change your testimony, he is ready. That is why he came. He left every other place and he is in Ebenezer today. Right now. I don't know how long he has to stay to move to another church. But now he is here. Will you take that opportunity?